of God sending his Messiah to earth for us to save us from our sin. Welcome. We're glad to see several folks out this afternoon. God's given us a beautiful day, and we're going to rejoice and praise him today as we worship together and celebrate his birth. So let's stand today as we begin. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing hymn number 104, Joy to the World, or it's on the screen. And I'm going to ask that we dim our lights at this time, too. And when we do some scripture reading, we'll have a few of them on to help us. So let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today on the basis of that wonderful and most wondrous love gift of all time, the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that gift that you gave to humanity. We were undeserving, yet you saw fit to help us in our time of need. We thank you that you are a God who cares about us deeply and has compassion for the sinner. We're thankful that your Son not only came and as the God-man in his incarnation, but that he also came to this earth and died and rose miraculously again, guaranteeing us new life. Lord, help us to look at you deeply during this season and at all times, and to really come into a close walk with you and appreciate all the things that you've done for us. Now, Lord, may this celebration this afternoon be something that is pleasing to you. And we want to acknowledge from our hearts today that we really do love you, Lord. And we can't understand or comprehend all of it, but we surely recognize what you've done for us is a miraculous thing. Lord, may our hearts be changed today as we acknowledge and look into your eyes and celebrate this time. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing. We're going to sing number 104, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Is found far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. World with truth and grace, and makes the nations proof the glories of his righteousness, wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. If you're able, let's remain standing as we look at the Word of God. If you'd turn in your hymnals this afternoon, and I'll ask that we turn those center lights on, please, to page 766, responsive reading number 41. 766, responsive reading number 41. We're going to look today at the account of Jesus' birth and events that surround that. I'm going to read the light print and lead, and I'll ask you as the congregation to respond with the boldface print. Page 766, responsive reading number 41. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
And all they had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
The account of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. What a wonderful story that is. It's a wonderful account. At this time, we'll continue on. Either our hymnals are off the screen, page number 105. O come all ye faithful.
Thank you.
Well, ushers, if I could ask you to turn down those lights, we'll sit here and enjoy the lights of the season. Thank you, Jeff, for doing that this afternoon. Well, every year I try to look at several different facets of the account of Christ's birth and the things that surround it. And today, I was led to speak on why the shepherds. I believe this, that God's word fits together. It has a lot of continuity in it, and it supports itself and is very strong when we allow it to speak to our hearts and as we study it. God has a complete package and a complete message for us, and what we have in our hands, either on our devices or in a paper Bible, is a miraculous thing indeed and a powerful thing. I encourage us all to look at it and to investigate it and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts about it. We have a wonderful treasure in God's written word that was given to us through the word, his son, Jesus Christ. So why the shepherds? Aren't they obviously a character that's in the account of Christ's birth? Absolutely. They're not the highfalutin characters that some of the people might be. They were not kings, were they? No. They were folks that were out in rough, tough situations and environments, and yet we're going to see as we look at this account tonight how God used them. You know, God can use every soul. God loves every soul through Jesus, and he's interested in us, and he wants us to be in a walk with him personally. I invite you to do that tonight. If you're struggling in your walk as a believer, or if you have never trusted Jesus Christ, let me assure you, he is durable, and his word is durable, and it will speak to your heart. He loves you dearly. Well, good afternoon, friends and followers of Jesus. Once again, with joy and anticipation, our attention is directed at the events connected with the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. Isn't it interesting how God works in all situations uniquely to deliver his message and his will? Excuse me. There are multitudinous aspects of this account that can be explored. This, the birth of Christ, is what I'm talking about here, that make the message of this divine message even more impactful and further confirm that this is God's work and plan in totality, because it all fits together perfectly. So today, why the shepherds in the account of the newborn king? Several little points, and hopefully you'll catch these as we go through this, how this is all connected. First of all, if you look in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, you find this, and we're going to look at portions of this. You read most of it here just a moment ago, or we did. But in verse 8 it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And of course, the verses that immediately precede this give an account of how Jesus was born, where he was born, and so forth. And now the shepherds were notified by the angel that he had been born, that this promised Messiah had been born. And so they were directed now to go find him. But the interesting thing about that is they were out there in rugged terrain, rugged territory. They were out there in the third watch of the night. We had some messages on that just previously here in the last few weeks, that Jesus came in the very darkest part of the night as the light of the world. Jesus shines brightest in the darkness. Well, shepherds and many of their attributes we could look and study about, but we know this, that they're vigilant and they're constantly tending a vulnerable flock. So these men, and I believe they were men that were out there on duty that night when the angel appeared unto them, they were out there in a situation that was vulnerable, and they were on guard at all times about their sheep, because sheep are a very tender animal. Sheep are not a real bold animal. They're very timid. I've raised sheep in the past. Our boys still have about 100 ewes. And we know that sheep are also not really very, I hate to say this, but they're not very intelligent. They do dumb things. Do we agree on that? It's interesting, too, as we'll find out here down the line in this little message, that we are classified as sheep. There's a reason for that. But they were out there. They were vigilant. They were constantly tending a vulnerable flock. They attended to their mission. Their flock was of primary importance. You see, the angel of the Lord came to these people that were diligent about what they did and were diligent precisely in this situation about caring for their flock of sheep. The angel came to them because God knew that they would fulfill the directives that he gave to them. Now, where would most people be in the midnight to 1 o'clock hour when the midnight watch started? We'd be asleep at the wheel. And let me just say, folks, there's a lot of people today that are asleep at the wheel. But these shepherds were not. They were diligent, and they got the job accomplished. He came to a people, the angel of the Lord came to a people that had a purpose, and God used them in that purpose. Well, the second thing I'd like us to consider today as to how this all fits and has continuity and why the shepherds is Jesus being God's Lamb, our sacrifice, fits perfectly into the picture, right? And we'll see that borne out here as I go through this in just a little bit further down the line. But there's a connection there because Jesus was prophesied and he was introduced as the Lamb of God. Shepherds looking for a lamb. You get that? It fits perfectly into the picture. Jesus was our sacrificial lamb for us as sheep that had gone astray. He came for that very purpose in his birth, to die for us. Isn't that an irony there again? He came in his birth to die. But that's the purpose that he was sent for. Now, Jesus is identified in many places in Scripture, but I'd like us just to think here briefly. And in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham was asked by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. You remember that account? Remember how that all went? Isaac was a teenager, or, you know, he was close to that age, maybe like just a little ahead of Jaden here today. Yeah, and some others that are here that are Noah, about your age, 14. And so Abraham obeys God, and he takes Isaac, and they carry wood up to make a fire. And Abraham places his son, and he's ready to do what? He's ready to take up a knife, and he's going to sacrifice his son because God commanded that as a burnt offering. But do you remember what, that's filed, the account of that, by the way, in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. But do you remember what happened as Abraham raised his hand to take the life of his son? God stopped him. See, Abraham believed God. He did what God told him. But here's the key. What took place? It was prophet God, you know, Abraham said, God's going to provide a lamb. And what happened when God stopped him? There was a ram at the edge of the brush. And that was the offering that was offered then as a substitutionary atonement, again, for sin. And so right there, that was a pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ coming as the Lamb of God in that time, thousands of years before Jesus came. The other thing that came to mind, and there are other accounts, but in John 1:29, John the Baptist said what when he first saw Jesus by the Jordan River? Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. These all fit together perfectly. And like I say, there's other references as well, but Jesus is the Lamb of God. Shepherds, lambs. Well, the shepherds have a priority as they tend the flock, and one of those is finding a lamb that is lost. Now, Jesus wasn't lost as the babe in the manger, but he was not yet found by many people either. So the role of the shepherds comes to play in that. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 12 and 15 through 16. We already read those here just a moment ago. And this shall be a sign unto you, the angel said. You shall
find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Of course, Jesus, he was very likely born on the lower level of a house with the livestock because there was no accommodations that were available in the upper areas of that house. He was born in a cattle stall where shepherds or sheep were housed, cattle, and where shepherds would attend. And so they found the Lamb of God. He was lost. And they went immediately to do that because shepherds have a priority to find a missing lamb, a lost lamb. It's very important because if you lose too many of your lambs, you're going to what? You're going to be in deep trouble financially and so forth. So there was a priority, and that's why God used those shepherds. Most of the other people that are not on guard and on duty and ready to serve God, sometimes we can't even get out of the first base or out of the door before the people that are diligent have the job done. We ought to have that type of a attitude like the shepherds had about Jesus. There's a lot of people today that he is not a priority for, but he was to the shepherds, and that's why God used them. The other point, the fourth point I'd like to bring about the shepherds is that they were people that could get attention with words. If you've ever worked with sheep, I used to, when I had the sheep, they would hear my truck start a half a mile from where they were fed, and they would be there, bah, 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 waiting for me with the corn and almost knock me down as I'd feed them or give them hay. But also, if they didn't, for some reason, hear the truck and I went down on a different vehicle or walked or whatever the case would be, all I would have to say to those sheep is, come, sheep! And I'd hear, the hoof prints, beating of the sheep, running, the whole flock of them running up to be fed. Well, the shepherds were able to get attention with words when they work with sheep. And, you know, we don't think that. We think, well, they're unlearned folks, so on and so forth. No. I think they had the ability that God had given them from their background to be very enticing with words. And the scripture backs that up. God used them because they could get attention with what they said. And, of course, we'll look at this in just a minute. Sheep know the voice of those that are their caretakers. But Luke 2:17 through 18 show this. And when they had seen it, they went home and went to bed. No, that's not what the text says. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It wasn't just when they left the site, it was as they went through life. It was a priority to share who Jesus was, who this babe of Bethlehem was. And notice the response. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know something? If you can get people to even think about what you've said, even tonight you may be saying, come on, John, hurry up with this. But if you can just hear a few of the things that are said, and especially of the scriptures, and be able to consider these things, the Holy Spirit can use that as an impact on people. God's word being communicated is how people arrive at faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shepherds had the ability in their line of work to attract attention with their words, and they were used mightily. The shepherds also gave thanks and praise over a lamb that is found. Luke 2:20, in that account, says this, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the shepherds gave thanks and praise when they found the lamb, who's Jesus. Shepherds also look out for one another. Coming from a farm background, you need to know your neighbor. You need to have your neighbor's back. Because the greatest possibility for something that's going to happen to you or to someone else is that you'll both experience it at one time or another, and you better have each other's back. Because the day you're gone, or you go to the fair, or you go to someplace and your family's away, that's the day that your critters are going to get out. And that's the day that your neighbor goes by and says, oh, John's cattle are out today. You know what? Oh, that's tough for him. No, that's not how we operate. We what? We're going to help take care of that situation. And we would do the same for our neighbors. And you know what? Shepherds are like that because they know that there's times that you can't handle everything, that you need help. And we need to watch out for one another. By the way, friends, we need to watch out for one another spiritually. God wants us to take care of others the way he takes care of us. Shepherds look out for one another. And again, I say farmers know that for sure. But you know what? Jesus came as well for lost sinners. And as they searched for him and found him, we need to be out there sharing again that Jesus is looking for lost sheep and lost lambs. The last point then, and this is a little more lengthy, but Jesus as a lamb is also a shepherd. Isn't that interesting? Jesus came as the Lamb of God, but he also came as God's shepherd. Isn't it fantastic how the Bible has all these interconnections in this account? John chapter 10 is one of my favorite chapters. Jesus being a lamb, but also a shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Sometimes I get teary-eyed when I read this and study it. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. These are the words of that babe in a manger that lived here on this earth for 33 years, that ministered for 3+ years to people about who he was, that he was indeed the Lamb of God. He came for people because he loves people. By the way, I don't know that those shepherds that night that went to find Jesus were always good. They probably weren't. They probably had days where they neglected the sheep more than they should have. They probably had days where they said, I don't want to go out in the hills and sit out here in the night messing with these sheep. They probably had times when they had to do dangerous things to rescue a sheep and they were disgusted. We have times, don't we, in that same way, but that's not Jesus. Jesus never has a bad day. He never incorrectly cares for his flock. And here's what he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the perfect shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, or in other words, he's just in it for the money or the glory or whatever, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. But that's not Jesus. The hireling, or the one that's just in it for the money, or the superficial part of it, or a job, he leaves or flees because he is an hireling and he does not care for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As we read these verses, are you in Jesus' flock? Are you in the arms of the good shepherd tonight? You know what? If we are, there is nothing that can affect us. He's got our backs. He's got us firmly in his love. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And here's what Jesus said. I lay down my life for the sheep. Not too far from when he stated those words, he laid his life down for us as sheep on Calvary's cross. And you know, Jesus came for the Jew first, but he also came for the non-Jew. Praise God! Is anyone excited about that tonight? Or this afternoon? And here that door is open in verse 16, and other sheep I have. Jesus came not only for the Jew, but he came for the non-Jew, for the Greek, the Gentile. We're all lambs that he loves. and he came for all. Aren't you thankful for that? You know what? Because of our, if you're a non-Jew in your, you know, pedigree, we ought to be doubly thankful Jesus came for us too. Because he came first for the descendants of Abraham, the Jew, but also the Greek. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, Jesus does not discriminate about his lambs. He loves them all, no matter what color, what background, wherever our backgrounds lie. God loves us through his son Jesus. That's a good shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. See, this is an incredible love story. It's the love of the Father given through the love of the Son. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. That's Jesus, the God-man. That's the divinity of Jesus. This commandment have I received of my Father. Go love my sheep. Jesus, as a lamb, is also a shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Three more verses, and you can head out and celebrate. But I hope you're celebrating already. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Thinking about those shepherds there on those hills of Judea around Bethlehem that night. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus is God. God loved us so much that he came for us. He didn't have to leave his throne in heaven, but he came for us as the God-man to save us from our sins. That's real love. And folks, shepherds used a sheepfold. That was an enclosure where they could have security. I've got written here in my notes, safety, security, and salvation. Three S's are found in the Good Shepherd. I'll tell you what, folks, this is a beautiful day today. Isn't it warm outside? Some of us old timers remember when we celebrate the birth of Christ, it's usually cold and maybe sometimes pretty bad outside. I'll tell you what, folks, that place in the sheepfold of God is a refuge. Safety, security, and salvation. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he offers those things to each of us tonight. For those of us that have received Jesus, this is the most wonderful thing ever, that we can lay our heads on our pillow every night and know that he is watching over us, and that we have an eternal home in heaven, never to be placed into jeopardy again. Our souls are secure. If you're here tonight and you've never been brought into the sheepfold, Jesus is the door, if you read this text. And I want to tell you tonight, his door is open for you. And he says, come unto me. Tonight, if you're bearing a heavy load, as many people are in our world today, and that doesn't mean that Christians, that believers are immune from that, but even so, he says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are loaded to the gills. Because my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. Come into my sheepfold. Experience security, salvation, and safety with me. And all we have to do to have that is to receive it. We're going to give gifts. Jesus gave a gift. All we must do is receive it. You can't do anything to earn it. He paid the price for us as a Lamb of God. And let me just say in closing, he is calling the lost sheep yet today into his fold. I can't speak every one of your names tonight, but let me assure you, if you're apart from Jesus, he's saying, come into my fold tonight, today. And to those of us that are saved, he's saying, you're safe with me as the good shepherd. So why shepherds? That was the premise of our whole talk here tonight, right? Well, number one, they know sheep. Right? They know how to handle sheep. If you don't know sheep, you can't take care of them. Who needs the good shepherd today? If you need him tonight, go to him. Believe on him. Ask him to take you into his fold and into his arms and see a new birth in your life, just as they experienced the new birth of Jesus there on the hills of Judea, as the lamb that is rescued by the good shepherd. He loves his lambs. He loves you and me tonight. He is the Lamb of God that came for lost sheep like you and me. And be sure tonight, no matter what, to thank him. He is the greatest gift that's ever been given throughout all history. Help is close by in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. From Kim and I to you, Merry Christmas, and we trust that God will have great things in store in the days to come as our Good Shepherd. Amen. Well, it's time to sing Silent Night, a light out of the darkness. So if we want to encircle the auditorium tonight, we're going to pass the light. That's what we're asked to do. Tell the good news about the Good Shepherd. If a few of you would like to come up through here and light your candles, otherwise we'll slowly pass this around. And we're going to think about that night when Jesus came as the God-man. Whoops.
Oh, no.
The light went out. But fortunately, the light of the world has not gone out. There you go, Faith. All right. Let's pass the light. Yeah, we'll come together here. We'll make this work. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and you know, he's called on us through the Great Commission to pass that light. And so that's what we're doing tonight. All these things symbolize Jesus Christ, the central focus of all time. Now, if you want to turn tonight, all four stanzas of Silent Night are on the screen. Okay? And we're going to sing these a cappella. So pass the light, but remember to do this with the gospel. Okay? All right. Just about everyone's got their candles lit. Light of the world is Jesus. All right. Everyone has a candle lit? All right. Let's sing.
Silent night,
heavenly hosts.
Father in heaven, once again today, we acknowledge that your Son Jesus is the light of the world. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Tonight, Lord, we're so thankful for that event that took place where you displayed yourself in your power and glory, yet as a meek and lowly child in the manger of Bethlehem. We thank you tonight, though, that you are the all-powerful and ever-loving Lord that offers himself to each of us personally to enter into our lives and to bring us securely into your sheepfold. I pray, Lord, now as we celebrate in the next days specifically, that we would consider each and every day that you give us as a day of your grace, that this would be a day when we remember what you have done for us. And Lord, that we would give you praise, honor, and glory, just as the shepherds did on those hills of Judea so long, long ago. Now I pray, Lord, that if there'd be anyone that has wondered about this, if they have questions about if they're in your fold or how to get into your fold, Lord, that they would look at your word, first of all, but Lord, that they would seek you out, because it's very simple. All we need to do is ask and call upon you in sincerity and place our faith and trust in you, and you will become our great shepherd and save us and forgive us of our sins and from the penalty of our sins for all eternity. Now I pray you'll bless and keep this group now as we head out, Lord, and that we'll continue to shine your lights, even as your light, even as we extinguish these candles that we hold. But may these be a reminder to us, and we thank you again, Lord, for your love for us. Dismiss us now with your care and blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. If you leave your blown-out candles on a pan here in the back, we would appreciate that very much.